All right, we're starting here on the top of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, four lines down. Just as a way of reminder, as well as introduction to today's daf, we're dealing with a number of categories, and in those categories we have a question because each of those categories allows for geula, the ability to redeem the item. And the question is that we have certain dinim that we know apply by certain of these categories. The question is, what is their application? Are we able to extend them to the other categories? So the first of which, where we know it's explicit, is mocher ste'achuza. Someone who sells his field that he gets with inheritance, that field, when he sells it, he has a right to redeem the field. And in that right to redeem the field, the Torah tells us that if he has hisiga yado, kidei geulato, that he has to have enough money in order to redeem the whole field, kidei geulato. So there the Gemara learns from that, hisiga yado, that it can't be that he borrows money in order to redeem it. He has to have the means by which to redeem it. And kidei geulato is that he has to be able to redeem the whole thing and not a part of it. So that's something that, or information that we know with regards to ste'achuza. We also know there it says, uva golo akarov elav, that the krovim are the ones that come and are goel his field. So now that's the din that we find by ste'achuza. If we go to other areas, there's information, but a lack of detail. So for instance, when it comes to batei arei chuma, over there it says that, vaita gulato atom shnat mimkaro, that he has the right to redeem it for 1 year after the time of the sale. But v'lo yigael, if he doesn't redeem it within that 1 year, then the sale is chalut, it goes permanent, and he loses the house. But over there, there's no description about whether there are limitations or not, with regards to the ge'ula that is associated with the batei arei chuma. So now the Gemara's question, and we dealt with this yesterday, was, are those limitations applicable? Do we learn ge'ula from ste'achuza, or maybe batei arei chuma have their own rules, and you can redeem them for half, borrow money to redeem them, you can redeem them in part. So that we saw yesterday was a machloki between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon. The Chachamim believe that with batei arei chuma, they are subject to the same rules as ste'achuza. And that was, Gemara is going to remind us, that was from a kal v'chomer that they learned, that if by the case where in the back end you have a right to redeem the you get the field back, for instance, the ste'achuza and the yovel comes back to you, then here by the house where it doesn't come back to you, certainly it shouldn't work for you. You shouldn't be able to do these partial redemptions. Rabbi Shimon learned just the opposite. Rabbi Shimon says that it's an offsetting factor. If you have a weak hand in the back end, then you get a stronger hand in the front end. So if you're going to lose the item in the back end, and you're not going to be able to keep it, then the front end, we let you redeem it by borrowing, we let you redeem it in part. On the other hand, if you're going to get it back anyway in the back end, then we don't give you that strength in the front end to borrow or to do it in part. Because in the end, you will get it back. That was Rabbi Shimon's logic. And based on that, by batei arei chuma, you should be able to redeem it after borrowing or redeem it in part. All right, so that's batei arei chuma. Then we have a third category, which is Eved Ivri. By Eved Ivri, we've already learned this, but by an Eved Ivri on Nimkar Lenachri, that was sold to an Achri, there also we know that he has the right to be redeemed. It says, Achri Nimkar, Gulat Yalo, Lechad Mechav, Yigalenu. There also we have this idea of Geula, or the ability to redeem it. There it specifies, Ododo, O Ben Dado Yigalenu, O Misher Bisaro, O Mishpachto Yigalenu, O Siga Yado Benigal. So over there we have seemingly a list or an order, a hierarchy of who redeems him. First his uncle, then his cousin, then his closest relatives. So there seems to be an order of who is the one that is appointed or designated to be the redeemer. So we have some information there. We don't have is the information about what type of geula here. Can he borrow money to redeem him? Can he do it in part? So there we had that in yesterday's daf, and now we had Rav Sheshit comment on that, that it's equivalent to the same thing as b'gnevato. Just like when you're sold out for your gnevat, you can only be sold out wholly and not partially. So till when you are redeemed, you can only be redeemed in whole and not in part. That was the limud that we had from yesterday. There's a fourth category, which is makdish ste'achuza. Someone who is makdish, field that they've inherited, that's part of the Yerusha from the time of Chaluka Daretz, they're makdish that field. When they're makdish that field, the pasuk says, im go'ol yigal, that you're allowed to redeem it. Redeeming it from Hekdesh, the gizbar, the treasure of Hekdesh is holding it. If he sells it to a third party, you're done, and you're out. If the yovel shows up, you're also done, it gets mitchalek, the kohanim, it's split up by the kohanim. But until he sells it to a third party, or until the yovel, you have a right to redeem it. Once again, here we have the same question, which is, are there limitations? Can he borrow money to redeem it? Can he do it in part? So that was the question that the Braita yesterday dealt with. And the Braita said, we can learn that out, Makdish Shtei Achuzah, from a Kal V'Chomer. And the Gemara now is going to question that Kal V'Chomer. The Kal V'Chomer was that the rights by Batei Arei Choma, there's a limitation on Goel L'Chatzayin and Lovev Goel. So too, that should be applicable by the case of Makdish Shtei Achuzah. That's a Kal V'Chomer. And the Gemara's answer, the Braita's answer was, Im Ga'ol Igal. Ga'ol Igal is a ribui, to tell you that any type of geula is allowed, even though if you had just learned the Kal V'Chomer, if you had just had the information, you wouldn't have said that. And that's what the Gemara is about to launch onto, to understand how it was. The Gemara wanted to learn from Batei Arei Choma to Makdish Sadeu that there's a Kal V'Chomer, which is Amrle Ravacha Brei Derovel Ravashi. So wait a minute. Ma'ika L'Mifrach. You can break up the Kal V'Chomer. Mala Mocher Bait B'Batei Arei Choma. By a Batei Arei Choma, he's not as strong as the case of Makdish Shtei Achuzah, because he has a limited time in which he can redeem the house. It's only in the first year after the sale that he has a right to redeem the house. Tomar b'Makdish, you don't have a Makdish Shtei Achuzah, Shibako Chol Yigael Le'olam. You have a right to redeem it forever. Forever here does not mean forever. It means Lo'olam O'Shel Yovel. Till the time of Yovel, and even that's qualified by the fact that the Gizbar didn't sell it to anybody, as long as the Gizbar didn't sell it.
So,
but therefore, if you wanted to learn a Kal V'Chomer, because you say, look, the Mara wanted to learn it out from both Shtei Achuzah and Batei Arei Choma, Uma Mocher Shtei Achuzah, you sell your inherited field, Sheipa Kocho, that there you have strength, Sheim Igia Yovel V'lo Nigala, the Yovel comes and it's not redeemed, Choseret Labala, comes back to you, Ora Kocho, that he doesn't have the right to do it in part, he doesn't have a right to borrow to do it. So Magdish, Shtei Achuzah, where in the back end, you don't get it back, it goes to the Kohanim, certainly there, you shouldn't have the right to redeem it in part, and you shouldn't have the right to borrow in order to redeem it. But it says, wait a minute, that you can break up, because with regards to a Shtei Achuzah, you cannot redeem it for the first 2 years. Whereas by a Magdish Shtei Achuzah, you can redeem it immediately. So they said, Batei Arei Choma Yochiach. Batei Arei Choma will tell you what the case is, because there you're allowed to redeem immediately, and yet there still is that restriction. So now the Gemara says, that Kal V'Chomer from Batei Arei Choma is not so simple. Because by Batei Arei Choma, Shekeinu Rak Kochol Yigael Le'olam. There you don't have the right to redeem it forever. You have a limited range of time in order to inherit, or to redeem it, which is 1 year. Tomar B'Magdishi Pak Kochol Yigael Le'olam. By the case of Makdish Shtei Achuzah, you have forever. Forever, meaning until the Yovel, as long as the Gizbar hasn't sold it. The Kal V'Chomer doesn't work now because you have a problem. You have a problem from Shtei Achuzah. Shtei Achuzah doesn't let you redeem for the first 2 years. You have a problem from Batei Arei Choma because that doesn't let you redeem beyond 1 year. So both of those have Chumrot. And maybe those Chumrot are what contribute to the fact that you cannot redeem it in part and you cannot borrow to redeem it. But Shtei Achuzah, which has neither of those restrictions, maybe over there, you could redeem it in part, or you could borrow to redeem it. Amalei Ravacha Sava, the Ravashi, Shum Deikah Meimar, Nehader Dina. Now here we'll do a Tzad HaShaveh, the common denominator between them, Teite B'Me'atzad. What is the common denominator between Batei Arei Choma and Shtei Achuzah? Mocher Shtei Achuzah Yochiach, Shipak Kochol Yigael Le'olam. Because Shtei Achuzah has the right to redeem all the way until the Yovel. And despite that fact, you can't borrow to redeem, and you can't redeem in parts. Over there you have a chumra by Shtei Achuzah that you have the first 2 years, you're not allowed to redeem it. By Batei Arei Choma you can prove that because you can redeem it right away. So now you go back and forth between them, and what you realize is the common denominator is Lori Zek Rei Zeh. Each one has a chumra, but they're not similar chumrot. The common denominator is shenigalim, vein lo bebeguel, beguel lechatzim. The common denominator is they're allowed to be redeemed, but you can't be redeemed in part, and you can't borrow to the deem. Av ani avi makdish, shenigal. I'll do the same thing, but makdish shtei achuzah. You have a right to redeem it. Vein lo bebeguel, and you shouldn't be able to borrow to redeem, beguel lechatzim, and you shouldn't be able to do it in part. So what the Gemara says in the end is that this is not really a Kal V'Chomer, it's really a Tzad HaShaveh, which is if I look at the two items, Each one of them is a chumrah. That chumrah would make me think that I can't learn from this item to makdish steachuza. When it comes to regular steachuza, I don't have a right to redeem it for the first 2 years. That's a chumrah. So now I can't learn a kav chumrah to makdish steachuza, who has a right to redeem immediately. So then you can't prove to me anything from steachuza to makdish steachuza. So even though it's more chamur for makdish steachuza, you lose it in the yovel, so it sounds like it's a much more chamur inyan, it has its side that it's not more chamur, which is that you can redeem right away, as opposed to steachuza, where you can only redeem after 2 years. But you have the right to redeem it right away. And you see, despite that fact, you still can't borrow to redeem, and you can't redeem in part. So too by makdish steachuza. But there's a weakness there, because bateri chumah v'chumrah. Their chumrah is that you can only redeem them for a year. Makdish steachuza, you can redeem them until the yovel. So what you see is the kav chumrah fails in each one independently, because each one of them has a chumrah above makdish steachuza. Steachuza has a chumrah above makdish steachuza because it can be redeemed immediately, versus steachuza that you have to wait 2 years. It has a chumrah, but they are a chumrah of a chumrah above makdish steachuza because they can only be redeemed for a year, versus makdish steachuza can be redeemed until the yovel, assuming the gizbar didn't sell it. So now we have a problem because you can't learn from each one individually. But if I take the two of them together, then I could learn it out, because each one of them does not have the same chumrah, which is that when you sell your steachuza, you can't redeem it for 2 years. But when you sell your batarei chumah, you can redeem it immediately. On the other hand, batarei chumah are limited. You can only redeem it for a year. Steachuza, you can redeem until the yovel. What it shows you is that each one of those items is not the contributory factor to why you can't borrow to redeem, and you can't redeem in part. Because each one of those chumrot only applies to one of them and not to both of them. The fact that it doesn't apply to both of them shows you that that's not an important factor. So if that's not an important factor, what is the important factor? I'm allowed to redeem it. And even though I'm allowed to redeem it, I have limitations on that redemption. So therefore, I'll extrapolate to makdish steachuza the same din, which is, I'm allowed to redeem it, but there will be limitations on that redemption. So I'm Amar Zutra, Rebbe Rav Mari, the Ravina, Ika Lamifrach. That Sada Shaveh also has a problem, because there is a common denominator of chumrah between steachuza and bateri chumah, and that is, in the second year, both of them are unredeemable. That is because batei chumah after the first year is done. So in the second year, you have no right to redeem it. Steachuza in the second year, because the first 2 years are restricted from redemption, in the second year you also can't redeem it. That means that both batei chumah and steachuza have a common chumrah. The common chumrah is that in the second year you're not allowed to redeem them. And maybe that's the contributory factor that makes it that you can't borrow to redeem, and you can't redeem in part. And therefore, I can't learn to makdish steachuza. But makdish steachuza in the second year, I can redeem it, and maybe that kula makes it that it doesn't have these restrictions. So I can't learn from the tzad shavishman. Tomar ben makdish shipakul chol yigael b'shanashniya. There he has a right to redeem it in the second year. So maybe I can't learn from these two over to makdish steachuza. Amalei Ravina, Mishum Deika Lameimar, Eved Ivri, Amnim Kalovi Kochavim, Yochiach. Because I could learn out from an Eved Ivri that was sold to an Ovi Kochavim, Shipa Kocholi Gael Beshana Shniyah. There you're allowed to redeem him in the second year. Vein Lo Vevigoel, Vigoel Echatzaim. And still, he's not allowed to redeem in part, and he's also not allowed to borrow to redeem. So now I have, between the three of them together, I have three items. Eved Ivri, selling a steachuza, and selling a batei arei chumah, all of those three items, the common denominator between is you have a right to redeem them. And in each of those instances, you cannot borrow to redeem. And each of those instances, you cannot goel lechatzaim. You can't do it in part. So then, if I take that common denominator and I look at makdish steachuza, which gives me the right to redeem, I would say it has the same restrictions or the same din, which is that you shouldn't be able to redeem it in part. You should not be able to borrow to redeem it. That's why we have the riboy of the pasuk, im go'o igal. Had it not been for that riboy, I would have concluded that the three other items teach me this information. So now, Tosafot already asks over here, but wait a minute, why do you need all these other items? You could just learn it directly from Eved Ivri. You don't even need bateri chumah. You don't need steachuza. You just go to Eved Ivri on Nimkar, the goy, it has all the kulot. You're allowed to redeem it right away. You can, in the yovel, if he goes to the yovel, he comes back and he's done. You have a right to redeem him all the way to the yovel. There's all those kulot, so therefore I should have been able to learn steach huzet directly from Eved Ivri. Tosafot says in the end, Ein hochanami. You're right, you could have learned out Ivri, so why didn't do this? Wanted to do something that was more common. Eved Ivri and Sadeh are different worlds. They'd rather learn out from steach huzah. Or Batei Rechuma, land issues to Magdish steach huzah. If you go from property to property, that makes sense. Eved Ivri is a different world. Okay, in the end, we have to use it. But we don't want to make that the primary vehicle for the limud. That's what Tosafot says. In addition to that, a number of assumptions here, of course, are, number one, that this is all according to the Shita of the Chachamim, and not according to Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Shimon, Bebatei Rechuma, we know that you can redeem in part, and you can borrow to redeem, because that's the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. So all of this is following the Shita, number one, of the Chachamim, and we'll see that the upcoming question also focuses on the Shita of the Chachamim. Number two is, the Gemara took for granted over here that an Eved Ivri cannot be Nigal Chatzaim, and an Eved Ivri, you cannot borrow and redeem him. That was discussion yesterday. It was a question that was asked of Rav Sheshet. Vamine Rav Huna Bar Chinin Amir Rav Sheshet. Eved Ivri, am Nimkal Ovi Kuchavim, Nigal Chatzaim, or Inu Nigal Chatzaim. So that was a question that was posed. Rav Sheshet concluded that just like by Gnevato, you cannot sell him in part. Also, when it comes to gulato, you cannot redeem him in part. Abaye afterwards said, not everything's a kula, not everything's a chumra. We're not clear what Abaye did. So one way to learn Abaye is simply just giving more clarity to the shita of Rav Sheshet. The other opinion of many of the Rishonim is that he's arguing on Rav Sheshet and saying that not every time that you use the gzer shava is it going to turn out to be the chumra. There's sometimes when you use the gzer shava of gula, that it'll turn out to be the kula. And so, in those cases, we should let him redeem. If it's going to be a kula, we should let him redeem, even though he's only doing it in part, or even if he's borrowing to redeem. So then, the Gemara's conclusion over here, which says, definitively, you're not allowed to borrow and redeem, and to redeem in part, is according to Rav Sheshet, and not according to Abaye. So that's just something to take into consideration, that the Gemara takes it as a foregone conclusion, that what Rav Sheshet said is true, and therefore you can learn from Eved Ivri. Whereas Abaye may not agree with that, and then you would lose this kav v'chomer. Bai minei Rav Huna bar Chinina min Rav Sheshet. Hamucher bayit bebatei rechuma nigalu kruvim o ina nigalu kruvim. So as we mentioned in the introduction, that when it comes to batei rechuma, it just says you have the right to redeem it. It gives no qualifications, not whether you can't do it in part, not who is the one who redeems it. So now we have the same. We had the one question about batei rechuma, which is, can you be glovev goel and goel l'chatzayin? That was a machloket Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon. Now we have the second question. Can relatives, are the relatives the ones who redeem it? Or is it only the seller himself that has the right to redeem it? Gulato, gulato, misteachuzag negamar. Do we have this gzera shava of gula from steachuzah? Ma steachuzah ina nigelet lechatzaim, vinigelet lekrovim. Steachuzah, we know, can be redeemed by relatives because it says uva go'olo hakorov elav, vigaal et mimkar achiv. So over there, we know that relatives are allowed to redeem it. And we also know, that you can't do less than the whole, and you can't borrow in order to do it. So maybe if we have that gzera shafa af hainami, so too, by the case of batei rechuma, we'll have the same extension, which is, that it won't be redeemed in part, you won't be able to borrow to redeem, but you will have the ability that krovim, your relatives, can come in and assist in the redemption. Odilma, kiktiva gula, b'chatzeinu dichtiv, b'krovim, loktiv. Maybe the limud from steachuzah is limited to the gzera shava of geula, with regards to the issue of whether you can redeem in part, and whether you can borrow to redeem. But as far as the krovim are considered, they're not learnt in this instance. Now, that's somewhat difficult because generally when we have a gzera shava isn't l'chatzayim, it's only in total. I mean that when you have a gzera shava, you learn everything, not in part. Tosafot yesterday, because of that, said that this gzera shava, gulato, is not really a gzera shava. He says, Nir l'Rabbeinu Tam, t'lav gzera shava gemurahi, ela gilui milto bi'alma. It's not a gzera shava, but rather, it's giving us definition to the word geula. And so what we're trying to do is that we say, do we learn the definition of the word gula from steachuzah, or do we not learn the definition from there? That definition is not a direct gzera shava, but rather, simply a revealing to us what the word gula means. And therefore, you could over here bifurcate the din and say maybe the definition of gula is only that you have to do it in whole, you can't borrow to do it. But as far as krovim are concerned, that's a totally different din. That's not part of the definition of geula. And therefore, by batei erechuma, you wouldn't carry that over to the din of batei erechuma. Amalei, enu nigal. He comes to the conclusion, Rav Sheshit answers him, you're not allowed to have krovim enter the fray. That means by batei erechuma, only the seller has the right to redeem it. He may not redeem it in part, according to the Rabbanan, and he also may not borrow to redeem it. But he cannot get the assistance of his krovim in order to do that. That is Rav Sheshit's view. So now we ask a question on this, which is, ubechol gulatzit. No, this is not a pasuk that exists. It's portions of a pasuk, which is that in the end of the parshia that deals with Yovel. And it says there, in between, we talk about selling your items to other people, and that the fact that Yovel makes all property go back. It says over there, bechol eretz achuzatchem, gulatzit nu laretz. In all of your properties, in all of your possessions, gulatit nu laretz, there will be a redemption for the land. The problem, as Rashi notes over here, kra yiteruhu. This is a totally extraneous pasuk, below perish lemayata. And we have no idea why it's here. I mean, that if you're telling me that the Yovel frees everybody or tends the land back, we've already had that. It says, v'shavta mi'ish el achuzato, v'ish el mishpachto tashuvu, or tashuvu ish el achuzato. Those already have been mentioned explicitly with regards to the Yovel. What do I need this pasuk? B'chol eretz achuzatchem gulatit nu laretz. What is that adding for us? So now the Gemara tells us that the rabot batim ve'eved ivri, to come to include houses and eved ivri, that they're also subject to geula. My love, what type of houses are we speaking about here? Batei arei choma. We're speaking about houses in walled cities, and you see from here that they have the same definition of geula, which means that they have a redemption. They have more redemption than you thought. Right, until now we thought they were limited in their redemption. This, so b'chol eretz chuzatchem gulatit nu laretz, means there's an additional geula given. What's that additional geula? Your krovim can come in and help you. So Gemara says, lo, batei chatzerim. We're speaking about houses that are not in walled cities. What's the problem with saying that we're not speaking about houses that are not in walled cities? The problem with that is that they're explicitly mentioned in the pasuk, which is, ubatei chatzerim. Houses that are not in walled cities, ashrei lehem chuma saviv, they don't have a wall around them, ala sadeh haaretz yichashev, they are considered like stei achuza. Geula tiyolo ubo yovel yetze. They will be able to be redeemed, and they will go out in the yovel. But if you compare them to stei achuza has the rules of the game listed out already. Krovim are allowed to redeem it, and you're not allowed to redeem it in part, and you're not allowed to borrow to redeem it. So why do you need any repo in the pasuk for batei chatzerim? That's already information that's explicit in the pasukim. You don't need anything. Batei chatzerim behejektibo. Stearetz yechashev. How the kovo chuva. That's coming to teach you that it's an obligation. Faliba to Rabbi Eliezer. According to the shito of Rabbi Eliezer. Now this machloket that we're about to see is a machloket that we had a similar type of machloket in genre in the beginning of Sota. Beginning of Sota, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel argue about certain halachot, which it's not clear whether they're optional or obligatory. So for instance, over there it talks about itamela. When it comes to the Kohen, where he is becomes tamei for his relatives who have passed away, they argue there. Itamela means optional. If he wants to, he can become tamei. Itamela means yes to become tamei for the relatives. Had the same question with regards to Sota. By Sota, it says that the husband has to warn the Sota, or he has to take her in. Is that an obligation, meaning chuvah for him to do that? Or if he chooses, right, it's a reshut to do it. Again, there, the Gemara talks about these machlokot. It's a similar genre of machloket right here, between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yoshua. The Tanya, it says over here, by the steachuza, v'ga'al et mimkar achiv, that his brother is able to redeem it. Reshut. That seems optional. If he wants to enter the fray, the relative, and help out, he can. Atama reshut, or nela chuva. How do you know that means it's optional? Maybe it's an obligation. Tama lomar, v'ish ki lo yeh lo goel. When a person does not have a redeemer, v'chi yesh adam b'Yisrael she'en lo goelim. Is there anybody in Israel who doesn't have a goel? Why? Rashi says over here, it's great. Ba'od echad mikol Yisrael kayam. As long as there's a single Jew alive in the world, hu karov lo, he's your relative. Meaning that, no, it's a beautiful idea that we're all relatives. At some point, you go back to the beginning of the Jewish nation. We are all relatives. So, as long as there's one Jew alive, you have a redeemer. Your family. How could it be that there's someone without family? How could it be there's someone without a redeemer? What's the easy answer? Ger. A convert. Very good. So the answer to that is, a ger doesn't have an achuza. So the parsha of stei achuza is not really relevant to a ger, because a ger is not one who holds a stei achuza. And therefore, that's why ger is not a good question over here. You know, in general, whenever the Torah says someone who does not have a goel, the Torah Shabbat Peh says that's a ger. But over here, we can't use that as the answer, because over here, we're dealing with stei achuza, which is not relevant by a ger, even though you can come up with a convoluted way where he can end up with a stei achuza. He marries the Israelite, and she passes away, and he inherits the land, but that's a far-fetched case. We don't expect the Torah to be speaking about some far-fetched case like that. Ella, zeh sheyesh lo. This is someone who has the ability to redeem it. He doesn't want to redeem it. Devei Rabbi Yoshua. So Rabbi Yoshua says this, when it says, v'galet mimkar achiv, that you redeem your brother's field, and then it says, v'ish ki lo yelo goel. If he doesn't have a redeemer, what do you mean he doesn't have a redeemer? You know why he doesn't have a redeemer? Because the relative's not interested in doing it. That's why he doesn't have a redeemer. So that means that it's optional. It's up to the relative if he wants to help out or doesn't want to help out. Reshut. Bilezo omer, v'ga'al et mimkar achiv, chuva. Obligatory. Ata omer chuva, oino le reshut. Again, you think it's a chuva, maybe it's optional. Tamal omar, b'chol geula to nu la'aretz. So he learns the pasuk that we just brought before, that extraneous pasuk, b'chol eretz achuzetchem geula titnu la'aretz. He says here, that geula, that additional statement of geula says, you have to give him a geula. You have to help him out. Hakatuv, kavo, chuva. The pasuk makes it into an obligation. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, the relative has an obligation to go in and redeem the field, not just an option to go in and redeem the field. Now we have a way to use that pasuk, where it's referring to batim, not batei arechuma, but batei chatzerot. So why do I need that pasuk? I already know that. It's explicit in the psukim that batei chatzerim have the same din as the stei achuza, which explicitly tells us all that information. The answer is, I have a second pasuk telling me that not only is it optional, but it is obligatory. So Amri Le Rabbanon the Ravashi, Amri La Ravina the Ravashi, some say that it was the Rabbanon who questioned Ravashi, some say it was Ravina questioning Ravashi, Bishlam Alamanda Amar Le Rabot Batei Rechuma. If you explain the pasuk is speaking about Batei Rechuma, you say, B'chol Eretz Achuzetchem, Geula Titnu La'aretz, that's speaking about Batei Rechuma, to teach you that they have an additional Geula of Krovim, how do we say Bakol? B'chol means we're adding something on that we didn't have before. Alamanda Amar Le Rabot Batei Chatzerim, my Bakol. What is Bakol over here? Bakol supposedly is additive. It's not something that you knew before. But in the case of Batei Chatzerim, you knew they had a Geula before. The Bakol over here is not adding more Geula over here. It's simply saying that Geula Tenu La'aretz, that it's an obligation. But the word Bakol is unnecessary. You could have just said Geula Tiyeh La'aretz Achuzetchem or Tenu La'aretz Achuzetchem. You don't need the word Bakol. And the word says, Kasho. That is a difficulty with this explanation. Eitave Abaye. Abaye asked, Ma tamad lomar yigalenu, yigalenu, yigalenu. If you remember this, this is by an Eved Ivri that was sold to a Nachri. In that parsha it says, Achrei nimkar gulat yelo, echad me'achav yigalenu, first time, o dodo ben dodo yigalenu, second time, o misher b'saro v'mishpachto yigalenu. Three times the pasuk mentions yigalenu. Gimon ba'amim, the rabot, kol ha'gulot, shnigalot, keseder zeh. That comes to teach you that any redemption is done in this order. So now, what is the order there? This is what I mentioned to you before. By Eved Ivri, it gives you a hierarchy of relatives. It says first Dodo, his uncle, Oben Dodo, then his cousin, or then Misher B'saro, the closest relative. So what you see there is that Hakarov, Karov, Kodem. That the closest relative is the most obliged to take care of this situation. That is learned out of Eved Ivri. What Abaye says, the Brita says, is Yigalenu, Yigalenu, Yigalenu three times to teach you that this din is not only applicable by Eved Ivri, but is also applicable by other types of Geula. So now, my love, what are these other types of Geula? Now, Yigalenu he will need to use for Eved Ivri itself, but then you have two additional Yigalenus, which you could use to extend this din of Geula to other areas. So what are those other areas? My love, Batei Arechuma, Eved Ivri. Why don't we say that it's going to extend to Batei Arechuma and Eved Ivri? But that would tell you You're telling me already that the hierarchy is the closest relative. That means that relatives are allowed to redeem by batei arei chuma. Lo, bebatei chatzerim v'stei achuza. He says, no, it's coming to teach you not about Eved Ivri, and not about batei arei chuma, but about batei chatzerim and stei achuza. It says, batei chatzerim v'stei achuza behedyuktiv. Those both are written out explicitly. Astei aretz yechashev, so batei chatzerim are explicit. And, of course, stei achuza, it's written explicitly in the psukim. Davram Nachum Yitzchak, the Karov, Karov Kodem. Now this is going to teach you a new din. Not only are relatives allowed to redeem it, but the closest relative is the one that has to first show up and deal with it. Hachanami. So too, over here, meaning that just like by Eved Ivri, Nimkar LeGoy, there's a hierarchy, the closest relative goes first. So too, by Stei Achuza and Batei Chatzerot, those two, when it allows you to use relatives to redeem, we have the same rule of a Karov, Karov Kodem. The closest relative must go first. So here you have a hierarchy which says that the closest relative is the first to redeem. You should be familiar with this from Megillat Rut and Boaz. Boaz over there wants to redeem the field of Elimelech and wants to then get Rut and be the Yavam. But there's Ploni Amoni, who is a closer relative. Since he's a closer relative, he has the first right of redemption. So they have to go to him first. And once he's rejected it, then it passes to the next Karov. The next Karov is Boaz. But they first had to go to a Karov, Karov, Kodem. The closest relative has the first right of refusal, and maybe, depending on how you learn, whether you learn like Rabbi Yeshua or Rabbi Lezer, either the option or the obligation to deal with it. So Rashi explains, who are the Krovim here? Krovim is a Ra'ui L'Yorsho, someone who would inherit him. Meaning that it's the first in line to inherit him. And over there we say a Karov, Karov, Kodem. Now, when we say Akarov, Karov, Kodem, it has implications in both directions, which is that once you say Akarov, Karov, Kodem, it means that the obligation is solely on the closest relative. That means that when you're talking about it being a chuvah, an obligation to do it, that obligation devolves upon only one person. Not all the relatives, or not the first relative that has the means. It is the closest relative has the obligation. So now, if he either does not take up that obligation, or he does not have the means. Meaning he doesn't have the monetary means. That's how you have to explain the pasuk, imein lo goel. According to Rabbi Elazar, who says it's a chuvah, what does it mean he doesn't have a redeemer? If it's an obligation, of course he has a redeemer. The answer is he doesn't have the means. He doesn't have the money to redeem it. So that means that imein lo goel. Therefore, that first person both has the first right of refusal, but also has the obligation. Relatives after him are afterwards in line, meaning that they only go afterwards, but also they do not have an obligation. Even according to Rabbi Lezer, who says there is an obligation, it's only on the closest relative. After him, the relatives have the option to enter the fray if they are the closest relative, but they do not have an obligation to enter into the fray. The most of the Rishonim learned that way, which is that when you say a Karov, Karov, Kodem, what are the implications of that? The implications of that are the chovah, or the obligation, only sits with that first relative, as well as the first right of refusal. But if, for whatever reason, he turns it down, or he doesn't have the means to do it, then it passes to the next closest relative, but the next closest relative is not governed by chuvah. It's not an obligation for him. It's simply an option for him to do it. He's allowed to enter the fray. He's allowed to redeem it. He's allowed to be a party to this, but it doesn't mean that he has an obligation to do it. So that's what we learn out from this, a karov, karov, kodem. That is learned out of Eved Ivri that's sold to an achri, where it spells out the hierarchy. And now we're saying that because of Yigalenu, Yigalenu, we extrapolate that to stei achuza and batei chatzerim, which over there, by the way, the pasuk almost makes it explicit as well, because the pasuk by stei achuza says uva golo hakarov elav, the golo who is close to him will come and redeem it. So what the rishonim say is, had you just had the pasuk uva golo hakarov elav, you would have thought that means that all the close relatives have an obligation, meaning that the obligation doesn't stop at the first one. It goes through, it passes down to one after the next. The first guy doesn't do it, the second one's obligated. The second one doesn't do it, the third one's obligated. Karov, Karov, Kodem comes to teach you, the sole obligation lies with the closest relative. So there still is, even though the word Karov is used by Stei Achuza, that Karov is different than the Karov that we're spelling out here, which is the Karov, Karov, Kodem tells you only the first one has an obligation, the others do not. Had you just learned it out of a Karov Elav, it would have sounded like the closest relative has an obligation. If he doesn't do it, the next closest, the next closest, the next closest. So that is the limo that comes out of this. Now the Gemara wants to know, Eichit, Marder of Nachman Yitzchak. On what was Rav Nachman Yitzchak's statement saying? We're saying, just like he said over there, we're going to say over here. Well, where was the over there that he said this? Aha! Tibayilu, Eved Ivri, Nigal Yisrael, Nigal Krovim, Oina Nigal Krovim. When it comes to an Eved Ivri who's sold to a Jew, is he redeemable through Krovim or is he not redeemable through Krovim? So obviously here underlying this is an assumption that you're allowed to redeem an Eved Ivri that's sold to Israel, which isn't so simple. That was discussed back on the Gemara in Tedvav. That was a Machloket Rabbi and the Chachamim or other Chachamim as to whether an Eved Ivri that's sold to Israel, can he be redeemed? So that's what Gemara says. I'll leave it to Rabbi, Loti Bailocha. According to Rabbi, there's no question over here. Because Rabbi Damar, Mishenu Nigal Be'ele, Nigal B'shesh. Because it says, by an Eved Ivri that is sold to a Nachri, Im Lo Yigael Be'ele. If he's not redeemed to this, Ve'yatza B'shnat Ovel. Rabbi learned from that a Miut. Im Mishenu Nigal Be'ele. Only someone who is not redeemed in this way, Nigal B'shesh. Then he goes out in 6 years. Someone who is redeemed in these ways does not go out in 6 years. Basically, Rabbi says they're mutually exclusive. He says that an Eved Ivri sold to a Nachri is not capped out at 6 years. He either gets redeemed or goes to the Yovel. An Eved Ivri who can be redeemed in 6 years only has that vehicle. He does not have the vehicle of being redeemed by relatives. So Rabbi clearly thinks an Eved Ivri can't be redeemed by relatives. Therefore, the question of who doesn't matter. Because if he can't be redeemed, then it doesn't matter about Krovim at all. Alma, lo mifra. Can't be redeemed, there's nothing to speak about. Ki debailach, alibi de rabbonon. According to the rabbonon that disagree with Rabbi and say that v'in lo yigael be'ele, they learned out, we saw there, Rabbi Yosef Glili and Rabbi Akiva learned out that only some relatives redeem him and he goes free, some relatives redeem him and he keep him as an Eved Ivri. So over there, they use im lo yigael be'ele for a different limud, so they don't have it to exclude the Eved Ivri that's sold to a Jew from being redeemed. So leave it to Rabbanan Mai. Yalfinan Sakhir Sakhir. Remember we had the Gzeir Shava Sakhir Sakhir from Eved Ivri that sold to Israel to Eved Ivri that sold to Nachri. That Gzeir Shava teaches us the dinim are the same. Lo Darshi Yigalenu. Or then they don't Doresh Yigalenu. Oh, Dilgama Yigalenu Lezeh Velo Lacher. Or maybe we use it to teach you that Yigalenu, this guy has a Yigula and no one else. So, if you learn that you have the Gzeir Sheva Sakhir Sakhir, that means that everything that applies to an Eved Ivri that's sold to an Achri also applies to a Eved Ivri that is sold to Israel. That's the Gzeir Sheva of Sakhir Sakhir. It says, it's because Sakhir V'toshav Yeh Imach, that's by an Eved Ivri sold to Israel. By the case of an Eved Ivri sold to a Achri, it says, Kimei Sakhir Yeh Imo. So you have Gzeir Sheva Sakhir Sakhir, the same DNA will apply, and that means that just like there's redemption, Geula, for an Eved Ivri sold to a Nachri, so too there's Geula for a Eved Ivri that's sold to Israel, and the same Karov would apply. Or do we say, no, wait a minute, the Gzeir Shav is there, but I also have a Miut. The word Yigalenu, this is what we spoke about before. There are three Yigalenus. One of them is Yigalenu Lezeh, Velo Lacher. He's able to be redeemed this way, but not the other party, meaning not Eved Ivri that's sold to Israel. So it could be one of these two. Tashma. Let us learn now. B'chol Geula Titnu. That's the same pasuk that we've been quoting all along, which is Bechol Eretz Achuzetchem Geula Tidnu LaAretz, which was extraneous. Over there it says there are both batim and Eved Ivri. Until now we focused on the batim, but also there says Eved Ivri. My love, batei areichuma ved Eved Ivri anim karli Israel. It's coming to include batei areichuma again, which we rejected before, but now we were saying that it's talking about an Eved Ivri that's sold to Israel because the Gemara says lo Eved Ivri anim karli Oved Kochavim. Speaking of an Eved Ivri that was sold to an Oved Kochavim, the Gemara asks the same question as when it proposed that the batim here are not batei reichuma, but batei chatzirim, which is Eved Ivri anim karli Oved Kochavim behedjektiv bei. That's explicit in the pasuk. What do I need this extra pasuk for? Ododo, oben dodo yigalenu. I don't need a pasuk to tell me that krovim can enter the fray. Or number two is that it's a krov kodem. It's explicit in the pasuk. Why do I need a second pasuk to teach me information about a Eved Ivri that is sold to a nachri? Gemara says, how will the kovo chova? That's to come to make it an obligation that the relatives must enter the fray. Not that it's optional for them to enter the fray, but it's absolutely necessary for them to enter the fray, even according to Rabbi Yoshua. Before we had a machlok between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer with regards to stay achuza. Over there, Rabbi Eliezer said it's an obligation for the relatives to help out and redeem the field. Rabbi Yoshua said it's optional for them. Over here, Rabbi Yoshua says, mandatory. Why mandatory? Rashi tells us, we're worried about him being assimilated. He's in the hands of the non-Jews right now. It's not a good situation for him. Over there, even Rabbi Yeshua will agree, obligatory. You got to redeem him. And that's why we have the extra pasuk. So the pasuk of the Kol, Eretz Achuzetchem, Gulat and Nula Aretz is teaching you, not only two relatives can redeem him by the Israel that is sold as an Eved Ivri to an Ochri, but they must do it. And therefore you wouldn't have any proof Eved Ivri that is sold to Israel about whether he is redeemed by relatives or not redeemed by relatives. Tashma, Matama Lomar, Igalenu, 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 Gimel Pamim. So then, now, what do I have the Igalenu three times for? So, Lorabot, Kolagulot, Shnigalot, Keseder Zed. Teach you that every type of gula is redeemed in this manner. My love, Batei Arikhuma, Ve'eved Ivri, Animkar Israel. So again, here we have three words, Igalenu. One of them we already used for Igalenu Lazev, Alola Acher. This applies here and not to someone else. So now we have two more that are left over. Those two that are left over, we're saying, what do they apply to? My love, Batei Arikhuma, Ve'eved Ivri, Animkar Israel. It's a different limud, but the same mechanism, which says, look, you have to include two things. What are the two things? Seemingly, it would be Batei Arikhuma and Ve'eved Ivri, that's sold to Israel. Both don't have anything written explicitly. Rejects again, since it's low. Batei Chatzerim, Ustei Achuza. It's talking about two items that already have it written explicitly in the Pasuk. Where it says, Batei Chatzerim be adjective. Ustei Aretz Yechashiv. Batei Chatzerim are explicit as well as Ustei Achuza are explicit. Rav Nachman Yitzchak, the Karov HaKarov Kodem. This is where Rav Nachman Yitzchak came in the first place to teach you that you do need these Pasukim. You wouldn't have learned it out of Ustei Achuza by itself. You wouldn't have learned this out of Batei Chatzerim, because over there all it says is relatives can enter in the fray. It doesn't give you any hierarchy. Doesn't tell you a karov, karov, kodem. Doesn't tell you that the closest relative goes first, and the closest relative, according to those that say it's a chovah, has the obligation. So a karov, kodem is learned out of eved, ivri, that is sold to an achri. And once that you do that, the psukim are not available now to teach you about eved, ivri, that's sold to Israel, nor to teach you about batei, arei, choma. So now I don't have any information about the other two. Now all this was brought as a question of Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet said to us before that relatives are not allowed to redeem a batei rechuma. We had here two limudim, one which came from b'chol eretz achuzatchem gula tenu la'aretz, as well as yigalenu, 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 which had a riboy. Both of those came to include something that has a redemption by relatives. So our initial thoughts in both those cases were it's coming to include batei rechuma and eved ivri anim kar Yisrael, where you don't have any information written about Krovim redeeming. We just know that they can be redeemed. So therefore, we would have concluded against Rav Sheshet then, that Batei Rechuma do have a right to be redeemed by relatives. Both instances, we said no. Speaking about Batei Chatzerim and Stei Achuza. In both those cases, they're written explicitly that Krovim are allowed to interfere. So the answer to that was, no, it's coming to teach you that Karov, Karov, Kodem. That the order, the hierarchy, that's what we learn out of Yigalenu, Yigalenu, Yigalenu. And by the case, Ubechol Eretz Achuzotchem, Gulat Nu La'aretz, from there we learn that it's not optional, but an obligation, according to at least Rabbi Eliezer. So therefore we have ways to learn that Pasuk referring to things that are already written explicitly in the Pasuk. And I have no evidence that it's telling me that Batei Rechuma have rights to be redeemed by relatives. And therefore it's not a question on Rav Sheshet. And that was what the flow of the Gemara was. Tosfot asks a question somewhat along the lines of what you're asking, which is according to Rabbi Yoshua, who learns by Stei Achuzah, it's not a Chuvah, but a Reshut. He has a Bechol Eretz Achuzatchem, Gulat Tenu La'aretz. He only has one limud from there so far, which is Eved Ivri. By Eved Ivri, he says it's Kovo Chuva. But that means that with regards to Batim, he has that Pasuk available. What Batim is he speaking about? He's not speaking about Batei Chatzerim, because he doesn't think it's an obligation. That's what Rabbi Eliezer learns from it. So Tosfot asks over here. So he says, wait a minute, what's going on over here? So maybe, we should say, Bechol Eretz Achuzatchem, Gulat Tenu La'aretz, according to Rabbi Yeshua. For Eved Ivri, it's teaching you that an Eved Ivri, a Nimkar L'Goy, it's a Chuva on the relatives to redeem him. What about Batim? So Batim, he can't use it for Batei Chatzerim because he doesn't think it's an obligation. So let us say from him, we learn out that Batei Rechuma, that relatives are allowed to redeem it. Tosfot says, then you run into a problem. Because then you have an unevenness or an inequality between the limud. You're learning Batim and Eved Ivri from the same Pasuk. By one of them, you're telling me it's a Chuva, and by the other one, you're telling me that it's optional. Meaning that Eved Ivri, you're saying, oh, it's Eved Ivri and Nimkar L'Goy, and that's an obligation to do it. Batim? Nah, we don't learn about Batei Chatzerim, we learn about Batei Rechuma. Is there, it's an obligation? No, it's just a reshut over there. Havalei Meimar, Batei Chatzerim, Ve'eri Ve'yam, Nikal Ovi Kochavim, L'Kovo Chuva B'Shtehem, Ukravi Lezer, V'azer Ribui Shaveh. So he says that you have to include both of them. That the puzzle can't come and include two different levels of obligation. Meaning that even if you believe that there's a difference between Eved Ivri, that's sold to a goy, and a Stei Achuza, that difference is not enough to have a pasuk come and give different dinim to each of them. If it was separate psukim, I could explain it. That's fine. The Rabbi Yeshua says, Stei Achuza is not a chovah. Eved Ivri and Yikar L'Goy is a chovah. But they come out of different psukim. That's fine. But to learn from the same pasuk that one case is a chovah and one case is a reshut, Tosfot says that's an uneven limud. And therefore, nobody will say that Batei Rechuma relatives can redeem. Because even Rabbi Yoshua, who says that I have nothing to learn from that pasuk with regards to batim, learns it out for Eved Ivri. Despite the fact that the word bekol, he has everything. So what he's going to have to say is bekol includes Eved Ivri, and that's something additional. That's what Tosfot said back over here. Why doesn't the Gemara answer? Vim tomar, lema da'ati rabot Eved Ivri. When the Gemara asked before on Rabbi Eliezer, when he says that the batim we're speaking about here are batei rechuma, and they are saying that it's a chovah, then the Gemara said, what's the word bekol for? Well, I'll answer you. What bekol for is the Eved Ivri, not for the back. The Yeshlamar, the Mashmalei, the Ate Ribuye, Midei Gulat Karka. It also back there says the word kol comes to include something with land. Because the Pasuk's talking about Gulat Hit Nula Aretz. So therefore he says that Bekol to include Eved Ivri is not enough. Yet, in the end, that's what happens for Rabbi Yoshua. That Bekol only comes to include Eved Ivri because he doesn't have anything to do with Aretz. As far as Batei Rechoma, maybe he would have said that you could learn it out of here, but Tosfos rejects that because it's not equal to the case of Eved Ivri, because where it's a chovah, here it's a reshut. Is it batei chatzirim? He doesn't believe that pasuk works for batei chatzirim, because he thinks it's a reshut, not a chovah. Alright, so that's just for Rabbi Yeshua's shita within this sequence. Alright, now, the Gemara goes back to the Mishnah now and says that with regards to an Eved Ivri, there's certain things that an Eved Ivri is nikneh beritziah. That to go to the Yovel, to go past the 6 years, hanirza nikneh beritziah. It's a very obvious thing. The one who is a nirza, is nikneh b'yirtziyah. How do you know that? Tichtiv. Ratzah adunav it does know. B'rmatzeya. It's an explicit pasuk. You don't need any fancy footwork over here. The pasuk says in Mishpatim. Ratzah adunav it does know. B'rmatzeya. B'avadol de'olam. If you get a ritziyah in your ear, you're staying until the yovel. B'koneh tatzmo b'yovel mitat adon. He reacquires himself. He gets his freedom back either with the yovel or with the mitat adon, with the death of the adon. Now, the death of Adon, we already learned from earlier in the Masechta, because there it says, Dichtiv, V'ratza Adonai betozno b'marzeya, v'avado le'olam. Avado is in the possessive form. V'avado to. So there it says, v'loeta ben, v'loeta bat. And that's what we learned earlier, that when it comes to an Eved Ivri, in the first 6 years, if his master passes away and there's a son, he stays on to work for the son. If there's only a daughter, he does not stay on. Whereas an Eved Ivri, after he has it near tza, then he does not stay on with anybody besides the Adon, because that's learned out of Vavado, Avadoto, and no one else. Le'olam, what does it mean that it works for him forever? Forever sounds like forever. Gemara says, no, the Olomo shall Yovel. That's only until the time of the Yovel, and that's learned out of the Pasuk in essence, which says that in the Yovel, V'shavtem ish elachuzato, ve'el ish amishpachto tashuvu. The Pasuk by the Yovel is explicit that everybody goes back to their family in the Yovel. So even though the olam here, the pashtut of the word olam means forever, the Gemara qualifies that and says the olam here is only the olam shel yovel. Why is it the olam shel yovel? Because yovel tells us. What's the rule in the yovel? Everybody goes back to their family. So that would include an Eved Ivri. He has to be able to go back to his family in the yovel. And that's why when the yovel comes, he is freed. Tanur banan. So now we go on to the piercing of the ear of the Eved Ivri in order to acquire him to remain until the yovel. It says in the pasuk, V'ratza Adonav et hazno b'marzeya. You do it with an awl. So now, ein li ela marzeya. I only have an awl, which is made a sharp metal piece. You know, shoemakers use it. It's pointed to make holes inside of things. That awl is what seemingly is used to pierce the ear. Minayin the rabot. How do I know that you can also include a sol? Rats Rashi calls a sharp piece of wood. Hasira, a thorn. Hamachat is a needle. Maybe not a thin needle. Maybe even a weaver's needle, larger needle. Vamakdeach, a borer or a drill. Vamachtev, and a stylus. You can see that in Rashi, greif or graphic. Sharp writing materials you use to carve with, not to write with. Tamalomar, vilakachta. It says that you take. Now this, but till now we've been quoting the pasuk in Mishpatim. There's also a pasuk in Devarim that talks about it. It says, vilakachta et amartzeya, v'natata b'ozno ubadelet. So the word lakachta comes literal kolot, kol davar nikach biyad. Comes to include anything that you can hold in your hand that can be used. Divrei Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Omer, ma marzeh miyuchad shel matechet. Just like an awl is made out of metal, af kol shel matechet. It has to be a metallic tool. If it's not a metallic tool, you can't use it. Davar acher, ha marzeya, labi ha marzeya gadol. When it says ha marzeya, it means the big awl. Again, the Gemara is going to go through all of this. Amar Rabbi Elazar, So Rabbi Elazar says, Yudan Berebi. Yudan is the name of a Chacham. Berebi, as Rashi points out here, is the Gadol Ador. Anytime the Gemara uses that adjective to describe someone, it means he is the Gadol Ador. So Yudan Berebi, Yudan, the Gadol Ador, Havadorish. Shein Rotsim, in Rotsim Ela Bemilta. When they pierce his ear, they only do it on the earlobe. V'chamim arim, even individri, Kohen Nirtza, Vibnesh Naseh Balmum. Hey, Kohen may not stay on past the 6 years as an evidivri, because if you pierce his ear, he will turn into a balmum, and then he won't be able to do avoda anymore in the mikdash. If you say that you pierce the ear in the earlobe, heich evidivri, Kohen Yaseh Balmum. That doesn't make you into a balmum. Ha'ein Nirtza, Ela Begove Shalozen. That shows you that the only place you have to pierce is the upper part of the ear, not in the lower part of the ear. The difference being that the lobe is just flesh, whereas the upper part of the ear has the cartilage that's there, the hardened cartilage. So that's what Yudan Beribi says, that the Ritziah is done on the earlobe. That's fine. If that's the case, then a Kohen could stay on as an Eved Ivri, because when you pierce him in the earlobe, that does not affect him as being a Baal Mum. Other than the Chachamim say a Kohen cannot stay, because he'll become a Baal Mum. From that, you know that whatever you do it has to be in a place that would make him into a Baal Mum. Doing it on the earlobe will not make him into a Baal Mum, because it will seal up and it closes, it heals. The only place that it won't heal is if you break the cartilage. If you cut the cartilage will not regrow or reseal itself. So therefore, it's a Mum. If you pierce the ear, so that means it has to be done on the part of the ear that has the schus, that has the cartilage in it. And that's where the piercing must be done. Right, so that's the first machloket. Then the Gemara says, "By my kamiflege," it's going back to the machloket Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi, with regards to what you can use for the tool of piercing the ear. The Rabbi darish klalei uprate. Rabbi is darish by the school of thought of klal uprat and klal uprat uklal, which is velakachto klal, marzeya prat, bilzno badelet chazar veklal, klal uprat uklal. Now I have a klal, a general statement. Prat, a specific detail, and klal, another general statement. So it says, v'lakachta. Lakachta makes it sound like you can take whatever you want. Marzeya says specifically a marzeya. Bozno badelet, and menatata, bozno badelet, you put it into his ear and into the door, there it sounds like whatever you're using, you put in. So now you have a klal uprat uklal, iatadan elakeina prat. When you have a klal uprat uklal, the prat gives you the general conditions by which you can include other things. Ma prat mifurash shel matechet. Just like the item that is the detail, the prat, is made out of metal. Af kol shel matechet. So too, everything that is made out of metal can be used over here. So basically, if you start out with a klalu prat, this is very important, that a klal is a general statement. A prat is a detailed statement. Well, we know that by klalu prat, the prat qualifies or defines the klal. So if you just had a klalu prat, then we say in Rabbi Shmuel every morning, that if you have a klal uprat, the prat governs. And the klal is limited or qualified by the prat. So then when I add another klal at the end, when I make it a klal uprat to klal, the klal in the end doesn't come to include everything. It comes to include things that are similar to the prat. The prat that qualified the first klal, now when I bring a second klal, that second klal comes to say, include things that are similar to the prat, because the prat already defined the klal. So bring in things that are similar, and that's what Rabbi does over here. On the other hand, there's a different school of drasha, and that is Rabbi Yossi Darish Ribuye Umiute. Ribuye and Miut. Ribuye means to include, Miut means to exclude. But this school of thought has a different view, and that is that when you have the equivalent of a klalu prat, for them it's called the Ribuye Miut, the Miut does not qualify the Ribuye. The Miut is simply that. It is a Miut. It's not qualifying the klal. Therefore, if you had a Ribuye and Miut, if you simply had a general Ribuye, something that included everything like Lakachta, and then you had Marzeya, which is a Miut, then you would learn a Ribuye and Miut is the equivalent of Klalu Pratu Klau. In the school of thought of Ribuye and Miut, that's the same thing as a Klalu Pratu Klau, because the Miut comes to exclude things. What does it exclude? Things that are not similar to it. The Riba comes to include everything. So Riba and Miut is equivalent to Klalu Pratu Klau, and that's an easy way to remember, by the way, the two schools of thought, that anything within the world of klal uprat, ribo and miut is one step above it. So if you have a klal uprat to klal, for ribo and miut, that's ribo and miut. So anyway, they're one step ahead, or they have more things that they're mirabed. Now, if you do ribo and miut, for lakachta riba, lakachta is a riboy, marzeya miyet, bilzno vadelet chazar viriba, riba umiyet viriba. So now you have riboy, miut, riboy. Riba hakol, it includes everything. Ma Ravi, Rabbi Kol Milei, doesn't include everything. So the second riboy that you bring, when you have a riboy, a miut, that's already a klal uprat uklal. So then when you bring the second riboy in, what does that do? That second riboy comes to tell you, include everything. Everything's included. So then, what's the miut do in the end? That's what it says. My miut, you get to miut one item. When you have a riboy, miut, a riboy, it's merabe et hakol. It's merabe everything. Then what's the miut there for? To tell you, exclude one item. What's the one item? My miut, miut sam. Then you can't use some sort of chemical or liquid to create the hole in the ear. It has to be done through a tool. And so that's the school of thought, riboy, miut, a riboy. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says you can use any instrument that's held in your hand that is good for ritzia. So Amar Meir, now we're going back to the next part of the Braita. Ha Marzeya, Lavi Marzeya Gadol. It says, the Marzeya, it means the big all. My Mashma. How do you know that's the case? Kedo Amar Rava, as Rava says, Hayerech, Hami Yumenet. When it talks about the Gidin Asher, it says there, Hayerech. So there is a machloket in the Gemara in Chulin as to whether it applies to the right hip or maybe to both hips. Over there, Rava says, it's not just the Shita of Rava the Amora, it's the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda the Tana, that when it says Ha Yerech, that's a Heya Yediyah. The Yerech, right? That, what's the Yerech? Ha Miyumenet, the dexterous one. Which is the one that is dexterous or the one that you would always assume? If you told me the, you would always think of the right, not the left. So that's miyumenet shibirech, hakanami, ha marzeya. What does it mean, the, all? It means miyuchad shimartzim, the unique one of the marzim. What's the unique one of the marzim? That's the marzeya hagadol, the big all. And whether, here the Rishonim argue about, when you say a marzeya hagadol, whether that means that you must use the marzeya hagadol, that's the mitzvah is to do with the marzeya hagadol. If you use something else, it's okay, but that's the mitzvah. Or it's saying to you that that's an option. To use the Matzeya Gadol. The Matzeya Gadol is called a Matzeya. It's not a different tool. It is also a Matzeya. So it's not clear here from the Gemara whether it's making it Lechatzchila you should use this, or it's telling you that a Matzeya Gadol is also called a Matzeya, so you can use it. So either way, that's the limud from Ha Matzeya, from the Heya Yidiyah that is associated with the Matzeya over here. Amar Rabbi Lazar. So now we go back to that statement that Rabbi Lazar bought, Yudun Beribi. Hayodaresh, Kenj Rutzin, in Rutzin Ella Bemilta, you only do it on the earlobe, Chamirim, and Avidivid, going your time, Vinesh Nase Baumum. Vyase Baumum? What's the problem? What restriction is there against making a Kohen into a Baumum? Rashi even states, mitzvah. Here you're doing a mitzvah of Ritziah. Now that's not so clear, because the Ritziah, first of all, is optional. The Kohen does not have to enter himself into the case of Ritziah. So to call it a mitzvah, alright, that's difficult. Number two is, it might be like shchita, it might be like get, which is, it's a matir, not necessarily a mitzvah. So for Rashi to call it a mitzvah already tells you how he views this, which might be true. By shchita, there are Rishonim that believe that it is a mitzvah, not just a matir. So you could call it a mitzvah, but that's not necessarily mukhrach that it is a mitzvah. It might simply be the prescription for how you stay on to be a eved ivri. But that may not be a mitzvah, it just might be the protocol. But either way, what is the restriction of Etz HaKohen becoming a Balmum? Let him become a Balmum. Amar Rabba Bar Rav Shila Amar Kra, Vishav Al Mishpachto. It says by the Yovel that Vishavtem Ish El Echuzato, Vish El Mishpachto Teshuvu. That's one. And by Eved Ivri, that is sold to Israel, it says, Vayetzah Meimach, Hu Bana Avimo. It says, Kasachir Toshav Yeimach, Ad Shnat HaYovel, Yavod Imach, Vayetzah Meimach, Hu Bana Avimo, V'shavo mishpachto v'lachuzat avudav yeshuv. So it says there that he gets freed in the Yovel. Remember before we said the Olam is the Yovel. Yovel is also mentioned by an Eved Ivri, which is at Shnat HaYovel by the Eved Ivri that's sold to an Achrayin over here, by the Eved Ivri sold to a Jew. It says that he goes out in the Yovel. That's how we know the Olam means the Yovel as well. But here it says v'shavo mishpachto v'lachuzat avudav yeshuv. He goes back to his family. L'muchzak shemishpachto. He has to return to the same standing in his family. So here, the Kohen, when he goes free in the Yovel, if you pierced his ear, he will not go back to the same standing in his family. He will no longer be able to do avoda in the Mikdash. He won't go back to his original status. And the requirement is that when he goes out in the Yovel, he goes back to his original status. That's why it's restricted over here for putting a mum in his ear, because he can't be Mikayim, that when he goes free, he goes back to his original status. Ibailuhu. Eved Ivri Kohen, Maushim Sarlo Rabo Shivcha Knanit. When it comes to an Eved Ivri who's a Kohen, what is the rule with regards to giving him a Shivcha Knanit? Chidishu. The whole institution of giving a Shivcha Knani to an Eved Ivri is a Chiddush. And therefore, Loshna Kohanim, Loshna Yisrael. It doesn't matter if he's Israel or if he's a Kohen, you can give it because she's not Jewish. She's a Nachriya. How could it be that he's allowed to marry her, allowed to be together with her? How is that allowed at all? The answer is, the Torah gave permission. The Torah gives specific permission to the Adon to provide that to the Eved Ivri. But once it gives him permission for something that otherwise is restricted or not allowed, then maybe it gives that permission not only by Israel, but also by a Kohen. Odilma, shiny Kohanim. Maybe Kohanim are different. Over Riba Ben, Chutub Mitzvot Yeterot. Kohen has extra mitzvot above Israel, just like he has extra mitzvot in other circumstances. He's not allowed to marry a Grusha. He's not allowed to marry a Zonah. He's not allowed to marry a Gioret. So all of those additional restrictions. So to over here, he'll have an additional restriction that he's not allowed to have a Shivcha Knanit. Now again, it's even more so by here because the Kohen is restricted from consorting with a Zonah or with a Gioret. And over here, the Shivcha Knanit is clearly in that category. So Rav Amar Mutar. Rav says a Kohen can have a Shivcha Knanit if he's an Eved Ivri. Shmuel Amar Asur. Shmuel says no go. Amalei Rav Nachman the Ravanan. So Rav Nachman says Ravanan, Kavitu Beit Bar Shmuel. When you guys were in the Beit Midrash of Shmuel, Be'is Kumadri Italalitu. You guys were playing games. You were playing with dice. You were not listening carefully. Because my taima lo timrele meha. Why didn't you ask Shmuel from this? Shmuel's reasoning is that it's asur. Why is it asur for him to get a shivcha kananit? It's because, he says, just because Israel has permission doesn't mean that the Kohen has permission. So you should have argued on him and said this. The reason that a Kohen cannot extend his stay as an Eved Ivri from being there for 6 years until the Yovel is because you can't pierce his ear and make him into a Balmo. If Shmuel is right, that a Kohen may not have a Shivcha Knanit, typically, there is a different reason. Debeina, when he wants to stay until the Yovel, what does he say? Ahavti et eduni, et ishti, et banai. I love my master, my wife, and my kids. The wife and kids that he's speaking about over there is a Shivcha Knanit. So he can't say, I want to stay until the Yovel because I love my wife, because he doesn't have a wife. He doesn't have a Shivcha Knanit. So typically, that he can't go on to go to be to the Yovel, extend his stay as an Eved Ivri, Veleka, because he doesn't have the ability to say, Hafti et ishti et banai. So therefore he's precluded. Who cares about the mum in the ear? That's not the reason. The reason is that he can't get a Shivcha Knanit. Betulo mide, and there's no answer to that question. Meaning, Rav is right. He definitely can have a Shivcha Knanit, because if he couldn't have a Shivcha Knanit, that would be a reason enough to say he can't stay on until the Yovel. The fact that the Chachamim went to this other vehicle which says you can't pierce the ear, that shows you that they believe that the Shivcha Knanit was not the problem. It was the piercing the ear that was the problem. The truth is that may not have to be. Cases by Israel, it's possible that he would have had a Shivcha Knanit. He could say a Hafti et ishti. By Kohen, if you say he never can have a Shivcha Knanit, that means he can never make the statement a Hafti et ishti. So it's possible that this only applies to Kohen, not to Israel. It doesn't mean he has to have it. You just have to have the possibility that he would have it. Yibai Luhu. So now the Gemara jumps tracks and moves off of Eved Ivri and says, Kohen, ma'u b'fiat toar. What's the din of a Kohen by Yifat Toar? You can see the parallels now, which is that the Torah gives special dispensations to consort with a Nachrit, one in the case of Eved Ivri with the Shivcha Knanit, the other case in the case of a Yifat Toar in Milchama. The Kohen question applies is, does the Kohen have the same dispensation? Chiddush hu, Loshna Kohen, Loshna Yisrael. The mere fact that you can engage with the Yifat Toar is a Chiddush already. So it shouldn't matter if he's a Kohen or Yisrael. Odilma, Shani Kohenim, Over Ribayim, Mitzvot Yiterot. Or is a Kohen different because they have more mitzvot and they have more restrictions? Rav Amar Mutar, once again, same shittos. Rav says Mutar. Shmuel Amar Asur. Now, the Gemara has two ways to formulate this. Bebiya Rishona, by the first Biya, the Kuliyama, Lo Plige, the Shari. Everybody agrees that it's Mutar. The Lo Dibra Torah, Kenegedi Yitzara. The whole reason the Torah allowed one to engage with the Yifat Torah is because it's trying to deal with the Yitzar Hara. Ki Plige, Bebiya Shnia. Where they argue is in the second Biya. Rav Amar Mutar. Rav says it's fine. Ushmol Amar Asur. Rav Amar Mutar. Hol Vishtariya Ishtariya. It's Hutra, basically. Ifat Toar, once you have permission to engage with the Ifat Toar, it becomes Hutra. It's totally Mutar. The Isur drops away completely. Just like by the first Biya, there's no Isur. That means that in the continued keeping of the Yifat Tohar, there is no restriction because it's Hutra. On the other hand, Shmuel Amar, Asur, Da'aviyala, Gioret. She is a convert. B'Gioret, the Kohen, Lo Chazya. And a convert, a Kohen, may not marry. So we already discussed this in Yivamot as to why a Kohen can't marry a Gioret. According to most of the Rishonim, it's because she's assumed to be a Zona. Since she's assumed to be a Zona, therefore Gioret is precluded from marrying the Kohen. That's the simplest way to understand it. Over there we saw some other nuances within the Rishonim about what the problem is with Gioret. But here, you're dealing with a Gioret, as Rashi explains over here, that when he has Biah with her, she basically converts. It's an automatic conversion when he has Biah with her. So she becomes a Gioret, and she is a Zona. If that's the case, then you're dealing with someone who's otherwise restricted to a Kohen. Or, in other words, Shmuel says that it's Duchuya. And when it comes to Yifat Tohar, Duchuya means there's a special dispensation now for the first Biah. After that, the Issur remains in place. And since the Issur is in place, you can't continue to have her with you. You can't continue to consort with her. Ika de Amrei. Some formulate it this way. Bebiya shniya kuli amrei lo plige da asira. Everybody agrees. Rav and Shmuel both agree in the second Biah, Asur. Da'aviyala, Gioret. Because she is a Gioret. And by Gioret, we're going to say she's like a Zona, and the Kohen is restricted from marrying her. Now, even though, as Tosu points out, how come by Shifu Kananit, the Gemara doesn't differentiate between the first Biah and the second Biah? So there, Tosu says, Hatum hayinu tainu v'davi chidush hutar yisur lo ye kadesh gabi Yisrael hutar nami gabi Kohen. The reason by a Shifcha Kananit is that you can't be a Kadesh or Kadesha, and consorting with the Shifcha Kananit is under that restriction. If you look at the Targum Unkelus over there, the Targum Unkelus of lo ye kadesh and Kadesha means a woman should not engage with an Eved Kanani, and a man should not engage with a Shifcha Kananit. That's the restriction for the Eved Ivri. But over there we waive it for the Yisrael, we also waive it for the Kohen of a Hocha. Tisharya Gabi Yisrael in kan chidush. By the Yifat Tawar, there is no chidush that we're matirit by him. The Gabi Kohen is Surah Mitam Zona. On the other hand, for the Kohen, Zona is a problem. For a regular Yisrael, there's no problem over here because once he has Biah with her, she's converted and she's fine. So there's no chidush by the Yisrael. That's why you would differentiate between the Kohen and the Yisrael over here between Biah Rishna and Shniah, whereas by Eved Ivri and Shifcha Kananit, if it's Mutar on the first Biah, it's Mutar on the second Biah because nothing has changed. Whatever chiddush you had on the first Biah is still there in the second Biah, both for the Yisrael and for the Kohen. So now he says, Ki pligei b'Biah Rishona. Where do they argue on the first Biah? Rav Amar Mutar Dalo Dibra Torah Keneged Yetzara. That's the whole point of Yifat Tohar, is to allow the Yetzara to get fulfilled, or filled. Shmuel Amar Asur, Keichot Dekrin and Bey. Anytime that you say in the Pasuk, Ve'evetal Toch Beitecha, that you bring her into your house, which is the continuation of the Pasuk there by Yifat Tohar, then Karina Bevra Yita Bishivya. Then you're allowed to engage her when she's a captive, or when you capture her. If you can't make Kayim in the back end, bring her into your house, then you can't engage with her in the front end. Now this is a very important concept, which is something that I've spoken about in Parshat Kitetze, which is that the Torah in Parshat Kitetze makes a specific statement about extending a person's perspective when they act. That when a person acts on impulse, many times they make choices that don't make sense, and they do things that are improper. What the Torah is trying to do in Parshat Kitetze is reorient your perspective to say, you gotta think about the big picture and the long term, rather than just the short term. The strongest evidence to that is the punishment by rape. Over there, the punishment by rape is that he's gotta keep the girl for the rest of his life. Everybody who reads that, they laugh at that. What do you mean? What type of punishment is this? He's gotta keep the girl for the rest of his life? And poor girl, she can reject it. She doesn't have to go. But the fact is, what is making him keep her for the rest of his life have to do? He's under restriction. Beit Din will force him to keep her as a wife. What it does is it changes the act from an act of impulsiveness to an act that has repercussions for the long term. It's not just I'm having a one-night stand, it's a one-time thing, and I'm out of here. Know that if you do this, if you rape this woman, you are going to be with her for the rest of your life. This act is not an act for the moment. This is an act that has repercussions forever. The Torah is not speaking to Rishayim. It's speaking to normal people who have impulses, who have Yetzer Hara. What it's doing is saying to that Yetzer Hara, be careful, because if you do this, you know what's going to happen. There's a long, long obligation that comes with it. The Torah is speaking to normal people. It's not speaking to Rishayim. All right, then the same thing here by Yifat Torah. It turns out, according to Shmuel, you have the same thing here, which is that Veital Toch Beitecha. Only if you become a Kayim, Veital Toch Beitecha, that you're going to keep her as a wife, can you verita b'shivya? Can you take it in the shivya? So over here he uses to exclude a kohen. But from the hashkafic perspective, it's also true over here, which is what? That know that she's coming home with you. She's going to be a wife to you. Okay, you want to let your Yetzirah run wild here in the captives? No, that's not just a one-time thing. You're taking her home and she's going to be your wife after this. So that same perspective has been given by the Torah. Know that whenever you have these impulses or you're impulsive in nature, that it has ramifications, not just I want her, but she's coming home with you, and this is going to be a long-standing relationship. So again, the Parsha Ki Tetzeh is giving you such a perspective. You see someone in the Shivya. Bisha Shivya. That's at the time of the captivity. Rashi claims over here, Bisha Shivya means that when you take her, you have to take her right away to sleep with her. You cannot take her first as a Shivka Kananit, or to sell her, and then decide later on, you know what, I want to keep her. That doesn't work. But Yetzer Shivya means, first sight, you got to be want her, and you have to want to sleep with her. That's the only way it works. The Bali HaTosafot don't necessarily love that explanation, but rather they say, Bishat Shivya means, Bishat Shivya, she is Muteret. But then after that, you have to do the whole process that is mentioned in Parshat Ki Tetzeh in order for her to become Muteret after that Zman, or that point of time of the Shivya. According to the Ramban, Bishat Shivya means, at the time of the captivity and not beforehand. I mean, it's got to be at the moment when the captives are being held, not beforehand, like this woman. So that's be ready to be shivya. And the eshet, v'afilu eshet ish, even if she is a married woman. She's a nachri, married to nachrit. We know that b'nei Noach have a din of eshet ish. They have a din of marriage and niuf and adultery. So they're married. So even though it's an eshet ish, it's not a problem. Now the truth is, that, as Tosu points out, as far as the perspective from Israel, that marriage, or that Ishut, doesn't have any halachic ramification for us. So what's the problem? Tosu says, Mikom kom ikase. Tosu brings the same asay that he brought back earlier in the Masechta, the Davak Bishto. Davak Bishto is a statement made to Adam Arishon, that there's an asay to stay together, to have a monogamous relationship with your wife. So Davak, you'll be in violation of that asay. Here the Pasuk tells you, don't worry, that essay is not applicable in this instance, and therefore, even though you're violating the essay, it's not a problem. Others just say that even though she's an Eshet Ish, you can take it. It's not that it would have been a sore, it just wouldn't have been nice, or it's not a good thing to take away from her husband. Nevertheless, you have a right to do it. Yifat Toar, lo dibra Torah el keneged Yetzara. What is speaking about here? She's beautiful. That's why you want to take her. That's the Yetzara. Mutav shiyachlu Yisrael basar tumutot, shchutot, v'ayachlu basar tumutot nevelot. The way Rashi explains it is, that if you have an animal that's on the verge of death, if you shecht it, the animal is kasher and you can eat it. On the other hand, if you let it die, it becomes a nevelo and you can't eat it. Now even though when you shecht it, when it's on the verge of death, it's disgusting. It's an animal that's weak and sick, and you're shechting it, it's kasher. It's kasher! Meidin, it's kasher, but it's still something that's, it's maus, but it's still kasher. On the other hand, if it dies, it's a nevela and it's a sur. So here the Torah says this. Look, your fat towar is maus. But, better off letting them or giving permission to consort with her because of the yetzara, rather than saying it's a nevela and you can't restrict it. They're going to do it anyway. So if they're going to do it anyway, better to make it mutar, even though it's disgusting, than to make it a sur. Why are they going to do it anyway? So I heard many years ago, I think from Rav Chait, that when a person goes into battle and they are a conqueror, there's a psychological phenomenon, which is still true till today, that when a person's in battle and they succeed in battle and they're a conqueror in battle, they have this sense of Superman, a sense of being able to do whatever they want and take whatever they want and act any way they want. Meaning that they get this certain sense of self-aggrandizement because of the conquest that's there. And that psychological phenomenon will result in them taking the women or whatever woman he wants and sleeping with her. I mean, that's a natural psychological outcome from conquest. And that's true, by the way, there's so many cases of that in Vietnam and other places where there were wars, where soldiers took Vietnamese women or they raped Vietnamese women. I mean, it's a very common practice in war, unfortunately. And even today, I mean, in much more extreme and terrible ways, you know, the ISIS. But there is this psychological phenomenon that if you win and you're in battle, you get this certain, the conquest or the results of your conquest are yours, and you can do with them as you please. To the victor belongs the spoils. So that psychological phenomenon the Torah is acknowledging and says it's there. And therefore the Torah says we gotta allow the Yetzer Hara to have a manifestation, because if we don't, it's gonna happen anyway. Since it's gonna happen anyway, we have to make it happen in a way that is guided and directed in a way that could be more kadosh. It's not gonna be perfect, But at least it should be kosher and not a nevela.
Now that works well for the opinions coming up who say that the Bi'ah Rishonah is done before he gets home and before she has been converted. That's why she's called Basar Tmutot. That's why she's called this Nephi Il animal or Trefa, which is precariously kosher. On the other hand, according to Rashi, which we're going to see in a second, says that the first Bi'ah is only after he takes her home and does the whole process that's mentioned in Parshat Ki Tetzeh. Why is he called Basar Tmutot? So Tosfot over here says, because in the end you're converting her against her will. Since she's not a willing convert, we call her Basar Tmutot, even according to that view of Rashi.
That he desires her, even if she's not pretty. That means that it's a personal thing. That he desires her comes out of him. Doesn't matter whether you think she's objectively pretty or not. Just has to be with his desire. That he likes this woman. That's what he wants. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. It's not yifat tawar that she's objectively beautiful. But b'chashak that he wants her. Ba, v'lo ba b'chamerta. B'chashak ba means he desires her. You can only desire her, not her and her friend. So that means that you can't take two yifat tawars. You're only entitled to one, not to two. V'la kachto, k'kuchim yesh lecha ba. She becomes married to you. Through the bi'ah of the Yifat Tawar, it generates kiddushin and conversion. Don't take two women. Says, listen, you know what? The Torah says I can't take two for myself. I'll take one for me, one for my father. I'll take one for me, one for my son. That's not what you have to do because it says, that you have to take her for you as a wife. It's only you who can take it, no one else, or for no one else.
Now Tosafot here does not like that girsa because he says, if you can't take two, then this is a derivative of that halacha that you can't take two. Therefore, Tosafot says that the girsa should be, and leave out the word, shtayim. On the other hand, some of the Rishonim explain that if this woman refuses to come, Elim Cain, her sister comes with her, or someone else comes with her, then maybe you would have thought it was okay to do that in order to facilitate her coming with you, and you'll give the other woman to your father or your son. But Kamash Malon, that you can't do such a thing.
Here it says that he should not force her during the war. Rashi says something here, which is, you shouldn't have bi'ah with her during the war. You have to bring her home. Tosafot jumps on and says, what are you talking about? The whole concept here is Dibra Torah, Keneged Yetzirah. The whole Yetzirah is at the time that they're at the battle. You tell him to wait till he gets home? He defeated the whole purpose of this. He sees this gorgeous woman, he wants to sleep with her. He says, just wait till you get home. Then, at that time, the Yetzirah is going to be worn down. He won't have to worry about it. That's true based on Ashkofa that we said before. We want him to think about the longer picture, so we want him to wait till he gets home. That's true, and that may be what Rashi is saying. You have a Yetzirah, we give you a portion of that and saying, okay, you can take her home. And you'll get to it later. So maybe that's feeding the Yetzirah enough, and then by then you'll straighten yourself out, taking away the forbidden fruit aspect of it. And v'yesh miyashvim perisha kuntris. There's some that say that's kuntris. To ikla meimer, the batal amenu Yetzirah, kem sheshu pat b'salo. Which is what you were saying, Shol, that now it's not us, so the forbidden fruit's gone because you've given him the woman. Even though he can't sleep with her now, he knows he has her. That's enough to quell the Yetzer Hara. And therefore, that's why it's good enough to take her home and sleep with her and not sleep with her during the Milchamah. But Tosfot says, and that you say midway through the Tosfot, he says, the Bi'ah Rishonah muter b'milchamah. The Bi'ah Rishonah is definitely allowed during the Milchamah. That's what's connected, Yetzer Hara.
Because by the time she gets home, she's already a Gioret. And then why does the Gemara before call that Basar Tmutot?
Aval Bi'ah Shniyah Surah Achitei Bebeito Gioret. Pasuk here that's saying to you, Lo Yechatzena B'Milchama means you get one time in the Milchama. After that, you got to bring her home, convert her, or she will be converted automatically. There is a forced conversion over here. First Bi'ah generates the Kuchim, but then afterwards, he's got to treat her like a wife, which is then you got to follow through the Parsha. Then you have to take her home, sit her down for 30 days, let her grow out and become a nuval. We have the whole process afterwards that has to be done with the woman. All that applies afterwards. Okay, we'll stop here by the two dots on top of Chav Bet Amud Aleph.